Welcome to Wake Up with Hope. I'm so glad you're joining me this morning as we begin a brand new week. And God always has something new for us. You know, when we wake up in the morning, we get to see a brand new sunrise. We get to experience something new in God because it's a brand new day. And God has a fresh word every day for us if we just get into the Bible, if we just read it, if we just meditate. Spending time with Him, there's always something new that happens. As we are beginning this new week and new month, I just want you to get ready for many new things that God has in store for those who love Him. And as we spend time in His presence, He is going to reveal Himself to us in a deeper way, in a greater way. This morning, I want to share some thoughts with you on the glory of God. Do you know that in the Old Testament, the glory of God was not seen in Egypt? Only when the Israelites encamped in the wilderness was the glory of God seen, as the glory of God was over the Ark of the Covenant. And that glory rested there. 2 Corinthians 4:6 declares, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shone in our heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So our Master had not become a man and come to earth yet. And the Ark of the Covenant is the throne of God, or you can say, really, the Ark of the Covenant is the Lord Himself, because the ark was constructed of acacia wood. And acacia wood is incorruptible wood. Acacia wood isn't like just any other wood where, you know, bugs can feed on it and decay comes to it. It's called incorruptible wood because it withstands corruption. So the Ark of the Covenant was constructed with acacia wood, overlaid with gold, solid gold. So we see two parts of this ark. We see wood and gold. It represents Jesus in His humanity and His deity. His humanity links with wood. His deity links with gold. So the Ark of the Covenant is really Jesus Christ. Now, the glory of God was shining from the Ark, right? The glory of God, we know, was shining from the Ark of the Covenant, hidden in the Holy of Holies. In 2 Corinthians 4:6, God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Remember in Genesis? Let there be light. The earth was null and void, and darkness covered the earth. So this verse is linking with Genesis 1. And God said, let there be light, let there be me. God, who commanded the light to shine from darkness, has shined now in our hearts. And now He's giving us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. And where is the glory of God found? In the face, hallelujah, of Jesus Christ. Now, when we think back to Uh, Exodus 33. And we look at the fact that Moses was having this conversation with the Lord. And he's talking to the Lord about the glory. It's an all too familiar passage of scripture in Exodus 33. I've shared it many times. And he's really wanting something more than what he had the first time on the mountain. And so the first time on the mountain, receives the Ten Commandments, comes down, the people built the golden ark, the people built the golden calf, may I say, and the commandments are broken. So now he's going to have to deal with this. He's got to go back up the mountain. And he's talking to the Lord about the experience. And he finally comes out and says, Lord, I want to see your glory. In other words, I want to see your face. And the Lord says, Moses, no man can see my face and live. Why? Because my face carries glory, and in your humanity, you'll die. But I'll walk past you, hide you in the cleft of the rock, and you'll see my back part. Now remember, God is really clothed with glory. Think about it. When Jesus came to earth, he was clothed with glory. It was just veiled because he took on a human body, but within that body was glory. So Moses goes back up the mountain, and the Lord writes on the tablets of stone again. And Moses is up there another time for 40 days and 40 nights. And you think about the encounter that was happening up there on that mountain. So remember, Moses, his request was, show me your glory. Show me your face. And God's answer was, no man can see my face and live. But I'll show you my back part. If you really break that down, what God is saying, you can't see my face and live right now. But that doesn't mean you can't see my face and live in the future, because God had not become a man yet. Right now, I'm going to hide you, and I'm going to walk by, and you're just going to see my back parts. This is so fascinating for me when I read it, and it never gets old. Just going back to that moment and thinking about what that must have been like. God walks by. And I believe when God said, you'll see my back parts, God was saying, really, not just you'll see my back parts behind me, but I'm going to take you back all the way to the beginning. That's why Moses wrote Genesis. Hello. In the beginning, he wrote the first five books. Now, Moses comes down the mountain the second time. It's Exodus 34:29. And when Moses came down from Sinai, the two tablets of testimony were in his hands as he was coming down the mount. Now, listen to this. And Moses was not aware. The KJV says, wist not. That means he wasn't aware. He did not know. He was not aware that his face had become radiant, that his face was shining while he was talking. To the Lord. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, the skin, note that, the skin of his face was shining. And they were sore afraid to come near him. And Moses had to put a veil on his face from that moment on because the glory that was coming out of his skin was so bright, they could not look at him. So I want you to think about this for a moment. If you look up at the sun, how long can you just stare into the sun, especially at high noon? Not very long. Because your eyes cannot contain the light. So something was going on here. There was so much light coming out of the skin of Moses' face that it brought fear on the camp. And he had to put a veil over his face because it was too bright. Now, you and I can't really fathom that because we've never seen anything like that. But you have to use your imagination. What did that look like? You know, it's interesting. I was praying last week on the ballpark field, you know, my open sanctuary. And I was walking and praying, and it was in the afternoon, maybe 5-6 o'clock. And as I was walking and I was praying, I was thinking about this passage of scripture. And I said to the Lord, Lord, I thank you that the glory of God is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. And if I am in the face of Jesus Christ, then that glory is going to reflect on me. And Lord, I pray right now that the glory will take over my life. You know, I was having this moment with the Lord and praying about that. Lord, I thank you that the glory that was on the face of Moses was so bright, yet it was a fading glory. But we have a glory that does not fade away. He had the glory because it was from the outside skin. We have the glory from the inside out. And Lord, let that glory become greater in my life. So I'm talking to the Lord about this glory, praying. All of a sudden, as I'm walking, I see this bright light radiating. I don't even know where it's coming from. My eyes go to this direction as I'm walking of light. And I realized, as my eyes could barely contain it, the sun was positioned perfectly on a little sign that was in the parking lot. But I didn't know that that's what it was because the light was so bright bouncing from that metal sign that I could barely even see. It was like looking at the sun. But the sun was just radiating from the sign. Well, that's probably what was happening with the face of Moses. It was so bright. The glory of God's light was so bright on his face that you couldn't look at it. And I really couldn't look at that sign. I had to turn away. It was so bright. But the sign was not the sun. It was just a reflection. So Moses came down with the reflection. See, the glory, hallelujah, was so bright that he was reflecting it. The glory of God is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. And if you're in the face of Jesus Christ, you'll reflect the glory. It's a reflection. It's coming out of you. It's bouncing off of you. It's the glory light. Now, the Ark of the Covenant carried the glory. So when Moses comes down from the mount, now we know the glory is on his face, but Moses, after that experience, is always found talking to God. Moses will talk to God face to face as a man would speak to his friend. And the Ark of the Covenant carried that glory. Have you ever considered this thought? That on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, which is coming up in October, the holiest day on God's calendar, note that, the holiest day on God's calendar, it was only on that day that the high priest could go behind the veil. So you think about Aaron going behind that thick veil, applying the blood, and his life had to be right. He had to be consecrated. He had to be walking holy because he could die in front of the ark. But he got to go in front of the ark. And there was no light there from the sun. No light from the menorah, because the menorah was on the inner court. The sunlight was on the outer court. So there is no light in the Holy of Holies. No sunlight and no lamp light. So how was it lit? It was lit by the glory of God. And I promise you, it was more bright in there than it was outside. What was that like? For Aaron to go in that Holy of Holies, that four squares, little space in the tabernacle. And to come out after facing the ark, don't you think? There was glory on Aaron. The presence. You can't get in the presence of God and not experience glory on your life. And that is only found in the face. You've got to face the ark. You've got to get in the face of Jesus Christ. If Moses could have that amount of glory just by the back parts of God, what can we have in the front part of God, in the face? So 1,500 years after this prayer of Moses, God is going to answer that prayer Because remember, he said, you can't see me and live, because I have not become a man. But when I become a man, you can. So 1,500 years later, Jesus becomes a man. And he is on the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew 17. After 6 days, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John and brings them up into a high mountain. Note this word, apart. You don't get the glory of God on your life if you are not set apart. So Jesus takes them on the mount, and note that, a high mountain. You have to have some height in your walk with God. You have to get higher. You have to get elevated. And the higher you go in God, the more separated you are from everybody else. Because there was a separation going on here. Jesus separated the 3 from the 12. They're 12, right? But he separates 3. So now there are only 9. So he takes the 3 and he separates them and leaves the 9 at the bottom of the mountain. There's a separation. Not everybody walks in the glory of God. Not everybody carries the glory. And there were 12 selected disciples, but all 12 weren't ready for the glory. Only 3 were. Peter, James, and John were closer than the other disciples. That is why they were selected, and they were set apart. Those who will carry the glory of God are willing to go up the mountain, up to an elevated place, leave the base. What is going up the mountain? It means leaving the earth carnality, the plane of earth with its carnal gravitational force that keeps you pinned to earth, because your carnal mind will keep you in a carnal dimension. So you've got to be willing to get that carnal mind out and die to the self and get yourself upward, moving upwards in your walk with God. Do you know how many Christians are still grounded? They've been serving God 50 years and they're still as carnal as ever. They have never ascended in their walk up the mountain. But for those who will ascend and continue to go higher in their walk, they're going to be separated from the rest, and they're going to experience what the rest have not. And so here we find a separation. God takes them on a high mountain apart. And what happens there? And Jesus was transfigured before them, and his face did, note this, shine as the sun. Again, God looks at them with the sun. How long can you look at it? Well, imagine his face. It did shine as the sun. And his clothing was white as light, because God is light. And so the flesh, the physical flesh body of Jesus, the physical makeup of humanity, was only a veil for the glory that was really within him. Now the glory is going to come out. And there appears, note this, when all of this is happening, when Jesus is transfigured and he just stands there on this mountain and glory's coming out of him, and Peter and James and John are probably hitting the ground. They don't know what's going on. All of a sudden, the Lord is like a ball of sun, this light, a ball of fire, may I say. Because the sun is a ball of fire. And you think about it. All of a sudden, the entire mountain is lit up. Jesus is on this mountain, and it's lit. Don't you think Sinai was lit? Sinai was lit when Moses was there 1,500 years prior, but only with the back part. But now, it's the face. And the mountain's lit up like sun shining out of Jesus. This light was blinding, and his garments turned white as light. Wow. So he had already had white on, but now it's lit. It's bright white. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah. So the same Moses, the deliverer, is Moses in glory. And he appears along with Elijah, who did not die. Remember, he was translated with a chariot of fire. And they're talking to the Lord. But they don't appear, especially Moses, without Jesus being transfigured. Why did that have to happen? So that God's word could come to pass. You can't see my face and live right now, Moses, because I haven't become a man. But one day you will see my face and live. See, that's implied, though it's not written. And now it's happening. Because God has become a man, and Moses now can see the face. Hallelujah. He can see the face. And the face has more glory than the back parts. Hallelujah. And Peter does, James and John, they don't know what to do. And you know, Peter's always trying to figure out what to say. Sometimes he says the wrong thing at the wrong time, and this was the something he said at the wrong time. And he said, it's good for us to be here. Yeah, real good. We're seeing things that nobody's seen. I'm seeing Moses on this mountain. Oh, Lord, let us make three tabernacles, one for you, Moses, and Elijah. And while he spoke, note this, here comes the Father. And it doesn't say a dark cloud, a bright, white, shining cloud overshadowed them. The Father of light. And behold, a voice comes out of the cloud. I love it. What is the cloud? It's a cloud of glory. I mean, can you all even think for a moment of what was happening on this mountain? The glory of God is coming out of Jesus the man, right? The God man. The glory of God is coming out of Jesus. The Father is on the mountain. And the cloud of glory is on the mountain. So here's Jesus standing on the mountain. The glory's coming out of him. The Father's there speaking through a cloud. The cloud is bright white. The raiment is bright white. Light's coming out of him like a sun. I mean, we can't even fathom what that moment looked like. You think it's bright when you look up at the sun? What was going on there? I mean, to capture that holy moment when you've got Moses and Elijah, two of the holiest men that walked the face of the earth. You've got Jesus, the Son of God, in his humanity and his deity in one, and you've got the Father speaking and the cloud right there representing the Holy Spirit Think about what was happening on that mountain. I'm sure the nine were at the bottom trying to figure out what in the world. What's going on up there? And the father interrupts Peter and says, you need to stop talking, basically is what he's saying. Be quiet. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Now I want to make a point here. When the glory of God comes, you don't speak anymore. Only he speaks. Hallelujah. And the disciples heard the voice, fell on their face, and were afraid. That's good fear. But the glory of God, note that. When the glory of God fills a life, they no longer speak. He speaks. That is why the Father said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. This is not the time for you to try to figure out with your own mind what to do, Peter. This is a time that you be quiet and hear him. When the presence and the glory of God comes upon your life, you don't speak. He does. We've got a lot of preachers speaking out of their head today. How many people are letting God speak through them because the glory of God is resting upon their lives? This is where the separation comes. This is where things change. This is where miracles happen. This is where an average mountain becomes a place of glory. This is where darkness is turned to light and God's voice is heard. It is where the glory is. And God is speaking to all of us today because many of us have been in the outer courts. And we're just camping out there because we're saved. And we've got a good little ticket to heaven. But where's the glory? There's no glory in the outer courts. Others, we're happy because we're in the inner courts. And it's a wonderful place to be. But you cannot be satisfied until you're in the Holy of Holies. It's a progressive journey, and the progressive journey gets smaller and smaller as far as the pathway. It's very big and wide in the outer court. It's a little smaller in the inner court, but it's the smallest in the Holy of Holies. The glory of God is only for those who are separated unto him and willing to progress in their walk and walk the straight and narrow, because it's the smallest part of the tabernacle. But it produces the greatest amount of light. So you think about that. And the Lord is calling us to get in front of the ark. You know, you sit in front of your cell phone all day long. How many times do you think you look at your phone? I know for me, there's always something going on. I have to look at that phone. You're facing a phone all day long. Think about it. The glory of God is seen in the face of Jesus Christ, not in the face of your cell phone, but you're in the face of your cell phone all day long. You're sitting facing a television watching the news and movies. You're facing a screen. How many people are in the face of the ark? How many people are in the face of Jesus Christ? If every Christian could sit in the face of Jesus Christ like we sit in the face of a cell phone, we would all be carrying the glory right now. But the cell phone has replaced the face of Jesus. The TV has replaced the face of Jesus. And we've got to get back in the face of Jesus Christ and shut this nonsense down and get on our face before God and face the ark. If we don't, we can't carry glory. Now, you may can carry head knowledge, and you may know the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, but that doesn't mean the glory's there. What did John say when he saw Jesus in Revelation? His face shined like the sun, and he had to fall on his face like a dead man. How did he have the encounter? He had it on the Isle of Patmos, separated. He was on Patmos, and he's separated from everybody, alone. People don't like to be alone. We complain. Oh, it's so lonely. You know what? You need to learn the blessing of aloneness. And depend on him to take you to the next place, because when we're alone is when God does his greatest work in our lives. Getting alone with God is getting separated with God so God can reveal his glory to your life. But if you're always distracted, you can't get there. And so God is calling us to the top of the mountain to get beyond the base and start to ascend to where the glory is. Note, Jesus was not transfigured at the bottom of a mountain. Moses did not come in contact with the glory at the bottom of the mountain. It's on the top. It's in an elevated place. We don't experience the glory of God when we are in the bottom of the mountain, in the carnal, earthly dimension, overwhelmed with all the circumstances and things. No, we have to leave those behind, and we've got to separate and sever from what's holding us back and ascend and get alone with God, and that's where things change. Hallelujah. That's where the change is. You know, when life gets too overwhelming, I've got to get away from people. I don't want to talk to people. I love my child. I love my mother. I love my family. I can't be with them anymore. I have got to get alone with God. There's something that bothers me if I don't do that. And I start to get irritated because I don't want to hear what everybody has to say. I want to hear what God has to say. And if you listen to too much chatter, you can't hear God. So we've got to get separated, even from the people we love, and get alone with God. And learn to master that type of time. Like, you get alone, and you say, you know, I'm going to master this time. I'm going to discipline myself to cut away from everything. And I'm going to get alone with God. You know, even when Grace was young, and I know how tough it is when you have young children and you're a mom. But I had to get away from Grace and spend time in prayer. And I would say, Grace, Mama loves you, loves you, loves you. But Mama loves Jesus more. And Mama has to spend time with Jesus. So you go over here and you play with your toys and you do whatever. Mama's going to be over here praying. Or I'd wait till she goes to sleep and I'd get alone. But I had to get alone with the Lord. That is the only way I could encounter the glory of God. And that's the only way you could encounter the glory of God. The Lord wants to bring us to the place where we are in the face of Jesus Christ. We've got to come back to this truth. Show me your glory. Show me your face. The cry that Moses had needs to be the cry of our heart. And if a man like Moses, he's just a man, an ordinary man, could have an encounter with God on a mountain, and his skin could be that bright that he had to wear a veil, how much more is the glory that we have within us? Because Jesus is in us. The light is in us. The seed is in us. He had a glory that was fading. We have a glory that is increasing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because eventually that light faded from his face. But for us, the light is ever increasing if we get in front of the ark. Hallelujah. You know, my father would be teaching at services or in Bible studies, and there would be a moment that this cloud of glory would come upon him, and you could see it. I would be sitting there watching Dad teach, and about halfway through, like a fog would come over Dad, and I would blink my eyes just to make sure I wasn't seeing things, and I'd look back at Dad, and there was like this fog, like the glory would just come over Dad. It's rare to see that today because people are in the flesh. The people that walk with God, that are facing the ark in solitude, that are getting in front of him, will radiate his glory. And it doesn't happen any other way. We've got to get alone. When the high priest went behind the veil, he didn't face the ark with anybody else. It was alone. And here is Peter, James, and John alone on this mountain with the Lord. And the other nine, they're struggling at the bottom of the mountain trying to cast out a devil. And they can't do it. So they're at the mountain base trying to cast out some devil. While at the top of the mountain, there's the glory. I mean, if that doesn't speak volumes, the devil couldn't get to the top of the mountain. Hallelujah. All people talk about today are devil this and devil that. Well, why don't you ascend to the mountain of God and get in the glory of God, and you'll find there's no devil that can attack you there. When we ascend to the mount of God and we get in the face of God, tell me what devil can torment your mind. What demon can attack you? They can't get that high. The book of Job declares, there is a place that no fowl knoweth, where no vulture's eye had seen. The lion has not walked there, nor the fierce lion treaded that path. It is a place of ascension. It is a place that no devil can be. There is a path. And the path goes up, and it's on the mountain where God will meet with you. His glory will meet with you, and the devil cannot get there. The other nine, they're at the base of the mountain. That shows those who stay in the carnal dimension will always be battling devils. It doesn't mean the devil doesn't attack us. Of course, we know that. But if you want to defeat him, you have to get where the glory is. If you want to get free, you get where the glory is. And there's no devil up there. There's light. There's glory. There's the voice of God. It's the Holy of Holies. And everything changes. Blessed be his name. And we need an encounter like that. We need an encounter where we cannot speak because the glory of God is so strong that it knocks us to the floor. I had someone tell me a year ago, I don't know that I can ever come to your service because people fall down, and that's not God. And I thought to myself, you know what? You do need to come because you need to fall down. You need to crash to the ground and have an encounter with God. And this gentleman just went on and on about it's unscriptural. You can't fall forward. I mean, he had the whole thing figured out. And I thought to myself, maybe that's why your relationship with God and the way you walk with God is so head knowledge and so dry. You need to fall down. You need an encounter. We all do. Because nobody can stand in the presence of God. Do you know the glory has power and weight, and it will knock you down? When I had that experience with God in 2009, when the Lord took me to heaven, and I came back, and I remember walking. I was in the hotel room, and I walked into the bathroom to finish trying to get ready to have this lunch with this pastor, and the glory of God was so strong. I went crashing down. I mean, I was holding on to the edge. Of that sink, you know, there was a sink there, and I was right by the sink, and I'm holding on to the edge of the sink because I couldn't stand up. I was going down. The glory of God will bring you to your knees, and that's where we all find Him. We decrease, and He increases. This is why Peter, James, and John fell on their face to the ground. The glory comes. God's voice speaks. No man speaks but God. And everything changes. And I'm going to end here lest I preach for another hour because this is an endless subject. It could go on and on and on. But what I want to leave with you this morning is this thought. The glory of God is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. And if your life is not carrying His glory, you're not in His face. You're in somebody else's face, but it's not His. You know, when you look at your cell phone, you're seeing someone else's face. Or you're hearing someone else's voice. Same with the television. We've got to put everything that distracts us aside, and we've got to hear Him for ourselves. And we've got to get alone with the Lord because He wants to speak to us. Think about Moses. And God spoke to Moses face to face as a man would speak to his friend. God can speak to us like that if we get in the face of Jesus Christ, where the glory will change you, where your life will never be the same again. And you will walk out with power. And that's a challenge for us all today, to get alone with the Lord. Die to self and let God speak through us. And when we get in that place, we will walk out shining with His glory. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. I pray that you will not listen to these podcasts once and think you figured it out and you've got it. Listen to it again and again and again. We don't hear everything the first time. When I listen to messages from my father and others that touch me, I can't get it the first time. There are messages that my dad has preached. I've listened to 10 or more times, and I get something new all the time because you cannot grasp everything one time. So it's important for those of you that are students of the Word to listen again and again, especially when God has spoken to you through a message. You need to really hear it again. And the more you listen to it, that message will be sown inside of you. It's one thing to hear it, but just because you hear it doesn't mean you remember it. It needs to be worked out on the inside of you. And the more you listen, the Holy Spirit will light on different parts of a word, and all of a sudden, you'll never forget that because it's sown into you. And that's what we want. Blessed be His name. I want to also remind those of you that are on the call that if you're being touched by these messages, don't just take it for granted. Give an offering. Sow into what you're hearing. The blessing is twofold. I'm giving, you're receiving, but it's your job to give as well, so God can give you more. So don't just take it for granted. Sow into it. Don't be a taker. Be a giver. Jesus is always giving us, and God wants us to give back to the kingdom of God. That's a tithe or an offering. And I was, interestingly enough, talking to someone a few days ago, and this gentleman has been in church all of his life, and he and his wife and his family, I've known the family for many, many years. We're having this conversation, and he brings up the tithe. And he said, you know, Sharon, I get frustrated because I feel like I'm giving my tithe, and the church is just building another building or, you know, expanding this. And I feel like it's not the money that I'm giving. I'm just wondering why it's just staying in the four walls. And he was talking about that. And I said to him, you know, the Bible says, bring your tithe to the storehouse. Give to the store, you know, bring your tithe to the storehouse. And I said to him, what is a storehouse? A storehouse is where food is stored. And what God is saying is, you give your tithes to where you are fed. The Bible doesn't say give your tithe to a church, and I'm not against that. I think it's wonderful. If you go there and you get fed, you give your tithes. You give your offerings. But the Bible says give to the storehouse. Where are you getting your food? Who's feeding you? You give to where you're fed. That could be an evangelist. That could be a prophet of God. That could be someone teaching a Bible study in a house. Or it could be a pastor in a church. But the Bible doesn't specifically say give to the church. God says give to the storehouse. Where are you getting fed is where you give. So a lot of people listen to these podcasts and they're feeding from these messages, but they don't give to this ministry. You can't get a blessing that way. You obey the order of what God says. You give to where you're fed, and it doesn't matter where you're fed. You can be fed from a street preacher. You give to who you're fed from, to who's feeding you. You can be fed from some unknown person. Maybe someone's mentoring you, and they're feeding you the word day and night, and you only have a relationship with them. Well, you need to sow to that person. Maybe they're not sitting there, some preacher in a pulpit. You know, for years, Charlotte Hannah, who you've heard on this call, has fed me the word. She has separated her life to the Lord. She has been a tremendous mentor in my life and has fed me. Do you know I sow into her? And she doesn't have a nonprofit. She's not a 501c3. She's not a church. But she has fed me God's word. Why would I not sow into that? See, we've got to know how God operates and understand the function of the kingdom. Because God wants us to give where we are fed and sow back into his kingdom and the people that are feeding us, whoever those people are. So we've got to learn to rightly divide the word of truth. You see, we come into this tradition and we just think, okay, yeah, this is what we do. But you've got to read the Bible and you've got to let the Holy Spirit open up your understanding to truth. It's right in front of you. You know, when I said that to this gentleman, he said, Sharon, I have never in all my life seen that. It's never connected and clicked. I just got it. I've always been raised in this tradition that you give your tithes to your church, but you're right. It's to the storehouse. It's where you're fed. And he had a revelation that day. So I want to encourage those of you that if you are being fed by this ministry, to sow into it. And you will see a mighty harvest come into your life because this is good soil and God is moving here. And you get three messages hot out of the oven every week. And we also do a video every week. And there's so much other. Do you know that I post almost every day on social media a word from the Lord, something to encourage you? We are constantly giving out, constantly. But people aren't constantly giving back. So I pray that those of you that are hearing will sow and partner and connect with us and be a part of what God is doing, because God is doing so much. Now, before we conclude today, I also want to remind you that you'll be getting an email this week so that you can sign up for our upcoming 10 days of awe teaching. I'll be teaching this series, and it's a very, very important time for us to gather together and receive as we're stepping into a new year on God's calendar, 5783. It's a jubilee year. It's a year of breakthrough. It's a year of miracles, signs, and wonders that will be on a scale we've never experienced before. I want you to get ready for that. And we all begin with Rosh Hashanah, which is sundown, September 25th to sundown, September 26th. So in actuality, it's the 26th, but it begins at sundown, the 25th. And we will be starting on day one and going through the 10 days of awe. And it will culminate with the holiest day on God's calendar, which is the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, in which we will have a national day of prayer. So I'm looking forward to this. I want you to get ready for those teachings. And again, we'll be sending out an email this week so you can sign up and you will be able to see these video teachings. Every one of them will be by video. I will also record it in audio format for those that would like to dial in, but most people would prefer to watch the video, and it will be videotaped. The Lord bless you, and if you need prayer, or you want to make a comment, or you want to share with me something that's going on in your life, please send me an email. We're always here. contact@SharonBoland.com. contact@SharonBoland.com. Have a glorious day, everybody. Get in front of the ark, and you will be transformed. We'll see you again.